Hello, my name is Daisy Foss, and I'm so excited to be on UK Health Radio. I've been invited by Amanda Nelson, while she's away, to take care of her shows. So, where shall we start? I am a motivational healer. I've been working in energetics, just like Amanda, for a long time now, and I am a transformational coach. And what I really enjoy doing is seeing the transformation of clients. So people who come to me for healing for one thing, and they go away with all sorts of other things, just shining and sparkling and really feeling good, as the whole body has been given a spring clean. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here on UK Health Radio. As nature wakes up all around us, the magic of this season, oh, you see it through the eyes of a child. It is so beautiful. As the first shoots are pushing out through the earth, and some of them, gosh, they can push through snow, they can push through concrete, and it's that magic of life, that magic that's all around us. And that's what really, really makes my day, is when I can see that magic, when I can see the transformations, when I notice them, the little things. And that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to notice the magic that is always around you, that it's always there. You just need to know how to find it, where to look, how to translate the keys, the codes, and how to feel the energy of this incredible unfolding of nature as we start off this first segment of the wheel of the year. As I watch my grandchildren in the garden or in the park, and see them lifting a rock and seeing what crawls out from underneath it, and planting flowers and picking flowers. Here you are, Omar. Here's a flower. And of course, it's a little daisy or a little weed that is growing in an inappropriate place, because all flowers, whether they're weeds or not, are absolutely beautiful in my eyes. What about you? We're going to be talking about the magic of nature, the magic that's all around us today, and how we can be poodling along in our lives, and then all of a sudden, woof, something can happen, and it can change the way you see things, can change the way you feel. And it's that little bit of spark that can really make the difference. And that spark comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? It can be a smile, it can be a smell, it can be a chance meeting with someone, and you can't explain afterwards, oh my goodness, that was magical, something happened then. And it's always in hindsight, isn't it? Whilst it's happening, you just get that feeling is indescribable, but it's real. And sometimes these things can happen without you realizing the significance of them. And that's what I'd like to talk about today, the significance of when I met Merlin for the very first time. And I'd like to share the story with you. I do hope you would like to hear it. So are you sitting comfortably here on UK Health Radio? My name's Daisy Foss, and I'm sitting in for Amanda Nelson on her Future Energetics show. I was on my way to Cornwall to get away for a few days when the weather was so bad driving down that my friend said, come to Glastonbury, I'm here at this incredible retreat space. And so I stopped halfway on my journey, and it was quite amazing. First of all, I couldn't find the place. It was halfway up the tour, apparently. It was on the main road, but that was the instruction. It's halfway up the tour, you'll find it. It was really late, about 9 o'clock by the time I arrived, and I had just literally stepped off of a TV show, so it was done up to the nines and completely from head to toe in leopard skin black leather, you know, leopard skin boots, blah blah. And it was walked in through the door, and it was such a shock to see that they were all sitting down having dinner. And it was like, oh wow, I've been invited into somebody's dinner party. Anyway, I was told very quickly to sit down, dear. So I did. And there were 12 people on the table, including my friend. And we continued to talk. It was as if everybody had known everyone for years. It was quite surreal. And the lady that I sat next to was the owner of this B&B. And she said to me, oh, gosh, it's so lovely to meet you, Sekhmet. And, of course, I had no idea. I, no, no, no. My name's Daisy Foss. It wasn't. I had just met this wonderful man called Paul, and his surname was Foss. And my nickname was Daisy. And so I had, in the moment, in that magical moment, rather than revealing my given name by my father, I chose to reveal my true proper name, which to me is Daisy Foss. And I was startled, to say the least. And she didn't think anything of it, of course, because that's what happens when you introduce yourself. People think, oh, amazing. But that in that magical moment, Daisy Foss was born. And of course, I had to ask her who was Sekhmet. She said, oh, she's the lion-headed goddess, darling. You are holding her energy. It's absolutely wonderful. Don't you know anything about Egypt? And I had to admit that I didn't. It wasn't really my thing at the time. I was much more rock and roll and down to earth as a single parent. Didn't have time for any of that mumbo jumbo stuff. I was surviving very, very nicely, thank you very much. And that's what I was doing. I was surviving, not thriving. And it wasn't very long before Isis got to the issues that had brought me to her place, because she always said, you don't come here by accident, darling. There must be a reason. And she was spot on. The reason was really deep, and it was grief. I'd lost a really dear friend, and I'd come away because I was in overwhelm of that grief. But she spotted it straight away and said, oh, darling, we could help you with that. The very next morning, I had my divine energy healing for the very, very first time. And it stopped me crying. I cancelled my weekend away in Cornwall and I decided to stay in Glastonbury. I stopped crying and I learned how to be honest about my feelings. And the healing was so gentle, so soft, but so powerful. I just wanted to know more about it. I had tried to cover up my feelings, and the grief was so deep that I just kept crying for about 6 months and just been weeping and crying and not being able to really express myself in any way other than through these tears. And it was such a shock just to stop. It was wonderful. Yet I wanted to know more. I learnt that it was the healing art of Merlin, and Merlin was the avatar Mahindra. Mahindra had brought together 7 divine beings into a magical healing realm where all Merlins could draw upon this energy for the healing art of Merlin. And so these divine beings of light, these magnificent angels, were all individually with gifts that would help humanity thrive and heal. And that healing realm of Mauma was the first time I'd heard of anything quite so amazing and beautiful. And the feeling of it was just second to none. It was so beautiful. I call upon these angels almost every day to to bring in healing either for myself or for others. We call this Merlin's Global Healing Grid now, and it is an extension of that realm of MoMA. Because of this experience, I became the healer that I am today, and I bless it. It's such a magical moment. I really didn't know that one healing was going to change my life so much, and because of that, I just have such gratitude for the experiences that I was going through. And the magic continued. The following weekend, there was the first Vortex Healing classes where you could learn from Rick Wyman, the 13th Merlin, this new healing art. And it was coming to Glastonbury for the first time. So I joined the class. And who would have thought that it would unfold so easily? But that's what happens with nature. That's what happens when it's meant to be. And because of that chance meeting or chance telephone call, come to stay in Glastonbury with me from my friend, I also ended up going to Egypt. Paul and I joined Isis and the group and went to Egypt for the spring equinox in 2000. And wow, what an experience. And ever since then, I have been a master healer with all of the divine energy modalities that I have, and of course going to Egypt with groups. And Merlin and his magic has been there all the time, all the way, helping me to be able to see things that I didn't know were there previously and to really translate and read those keys and those codes and be much more open to being in the moment, the magic of the moment, being in nature, naturally allowing nature to unfold. Every other weekend I'd be driving down to Glastonbury to learn something or take part in a workshop and having some fun, really getting out of London and getting out of the old way of being. Because the biggest thing about Merlin is the transformation. It is a transforming experience. With all divine energy and any kind of new task that you take on, there is the opportunity to really discover something new about yourself. And of course, I completely changed my name. I mean, I hadn't even asked Paul if I could be Daisy Voss. It just happened. And he loved it. He thought it was hilarious. And I took on this new persona. I took on this new energy. And was I taking it on or was I revealing it? That was the question. And that was what I was finding out. Finding out about myself, letting all these layers of old ego positions, all these old thoughts and belief systems, were just like falling off like leaves at the end of the summer, just melting away like ice cubes in hot water, and the change, the transformation was second to none. All my friends started to notice. But the big revelation came whilst we were on our sacred journey to Egypt that year, 2000. Why, it was such an incredible spring equinox. And of course it went into Easter too, just like it is now. And I was sitting in one of the hotels, having just been to a temple, chatting away, when Isis said that I had been working with Merlin every day on the TV. I just laughed. I said, no, it's called the Dream Wizard Pillow. And the Dream Wizard is Merlin. He's transforming and helping you to wake up. And I just laughed. I mean, this was a really long time ago, like 20 odd years ago. and 23 almost. And she said, "Well, what's on the packet?" And I said, "Well, it's a wizard with a funny hat on, and he's got a wand." And she said, "That's right, and that's Merlin. And you've been working with Merlin with the Dream Wizard pillow all this time. He's been helping you to change, to transform, and you have been helping other people by the way that you have been showing them how to improve their health." Because it wasn't just the Dream Wizard pillow that I was selling on the QVC, the shopping channel. It was lots of health products. And of course, every session was top and tailed with a Dream Wizard quote or something to do with, "Oh, here she is. I was going to reveal my name then. Here she is on QVC. And it wasn't just the UK QVC that I was working on. It was also right across Europe with Curvese Europe. It was quite wonderful. And this pillow had lots and lots of different versions of itself, and it did stop people snoring. It was amazing. It doesn't exist now. Don't go out looking for it or ringing me for them, because it's just not made anymore. But it was an incredible product at the time, and that's the thing, isn't it, that we go through these phases, and there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and when we're in it, we don't know that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, unless somebody wise comes and says, "Oh, you're in the middle of your journey at the moment. Really enjoy it. Take every day as it comes, and enjoy every moment. Be in the moment. Don't look back, and have a little look forward, but don't live in the past or yearn for the future. Be in the moment, because the present moment is the gift." And she said all this while we were sitting in the hotel lobby, and it was fabulous. She was foreseeing the future as she was saying it, which was really funny. So that was how my big aha as to discovering and revealing that I had actually been working with Merlin for 7 years on the QVC shopping channel without even knowing it. And then QVC transformed for me into Ideal World shopping channel. So it was going from the high street to the shopping channel and then to the Ideal World. And yeah, it was working with Merlin, and it was stepping out of that old me into the new me. Really quite eye-opening, and just such a fabulous journey. And I know I'm not the only one, and I'm sure your experiences when you sit and think about, "Oh, how did I get here? What was my steps to getting where I am now? And where do I want to be? What are the steps I need to take to get where I want to be? What are you dreaming of? What is your goal? What is your desire?" Because it's having that desire. And that's what Merlin taught me, was that be in the moment, but also be aware of the magic, aware of daring to dream, daring to bring that magic from your dream state into your living state, into your everyday life. So it was a big shock to me in that moment that I had actually been working with Merlin without knowing. And I think lots of people do that. They almost sleepwalk from one job to another, or sleepwalk from one relationship to another, without stopping and looking and really seeing the magic in it, or where that magic's brought you to. And if the magic's gone from a relationship, then it's the end. You know, the whole TV thing ended, and another door opened, and another lot of magic, much, much more fulfilling for me, opened and manifested. So, you know, don't be stuck in something that, or yearning for something that's finished, that's completed, because because you're living in the past, and Merlin only really comes to you when you're in the moment, when you're working in the present, being present with yourself, being open to open-hearted, open hand, and ready to receive all that is really going to come to you in abundance if you ask and if you invite it. That was a real big magical moment for me, sitting in that hotel room with Isis and the group. It was lovely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to UK Health Radio. I hope you're enjoying my show. There's still lots more to come. As a multidimensional healer, I work with many beings, mostly with Merlin, the magician, and the Angels of Awakening. These are seven different angelic realms, which I have been working with now for a number of years, as well as all of the Elohim angels. So if you're new to angels or new to the concept of having a guide called Merlin, then please stay tuned, because it's been such an exciting time working with these beings of light, and they really do enhance my life, and would love to share the experiences with you. If you do have any questions about angels, or indeed about Merlin, and would like me to answer them, then please email me on info@daisyfoss.com, or have a look at my website, and that's also daisyfoss.com. I'd love to answer any questions and hear about your angel stories. We're going to be hearing about quite a few over the next few weeks here at UK Health Radio. Who is Merlin, and what does he mean to you? Merlin is a wizard. He's a sage. Merlin is an avatar. He is a divine being. He is pure magic. Merlin has many names. He is known as Midrin in Wales. He is Marzin in Cornwall. And he is Merzin in Breton in France. But my favourite name is Merlinus Ambrosius. This is where he's been had the name taken from Midrin Emerus. That's another one of his names. And Merzin Ambrosia, by the 12th century bard, Geoffrey of Monmouth, who put those two names together and made the name Merlinus Ambrosius. But it just feels so rich and beautiful, doesn't it? Merlinus Ambrosius. And Emerus, of course, is Merlin's druid name. But he has other names as well. These other names are his magical names. I will reveal those names to you as we go on with the show. Merlin is a wizard. A wizard is a wise one from India, and the wise ones in India would travel from place to place, from house to house, and you are so lucky to have a wise one knocking on your door that you literally gave them everything that you could, whether it was food or whether it was clothes or anything, in return for them giving you blessings and wise counsel. These wise ones would have all of the knowledge, the Ayurvedic knowledge from ancient India, and they would bring all of the secrets of spring, of nature, and of course that would bring healing and new beginnings and different ways of doing things and seeing things. And so these wise ones, these wizards, became known as the healers, bringing blessings and lots of prayers and lots of amazing opportunities for people as we come out of the dark of the winter into the spring. And so these wise ones, Merlin was very much greeted by those that they knocked on the door of at that time. Now that I was aware that Merlin was my guide and that he'd been working together for such a long time, life changed. Because I think, you know, once the genie's out of the bottle, once the consciousness has sunk in, it's starting to embody, and you've really understood that things were very different from your perception, and now you're perceiving and seeing things in a very different way. It's quite a shift, and it's that shift that's happening more and more and more now. People are going through these shifts. I can see it happening daily in people, but it's most certainly weekly. And if I see people monthly, gosh, there's such a big change. Whereas I used to have one or two things that had changed, now it seems to be seismic sea changes that take place within a month. People are really waking up and coming out of that unconsciousness and that dream energy of fantasy and illusion, and realizing that there is a whole new world out there, a completely different way of looking at things. I remember seeing the Dalai Lama speaking, strangely enough, at Glastonbury Festival when little Juno was still a baby. She was about 18 months, 2 years old, Ronnie, her brother, was about seven, and we were, as a family, watching the Dalai Lama at the concert. And he said, we all wake up. We wake up daily. Every day we wake up is a different day. When you go to bed, that's the end of that day. That's the completion of that day. And you go into a state of dreaming. And when you wake up, it's your choice. It's a different day. So make the most of your days. And every day that you wake up, every day that you go forward, step by step, baby steps, then life will change. Life will be as you create it, not being dragged along or swept along by other people's desires, other people's wishes. And, you said so many other things on that day. It was amazing just to be in a field, literally Glastonbury Worthy Farm, with hundreds and thousands of people. I think there's about 180,000 people watching him at that time. And it was just spellbinding. It was, he'd already been up to one of the healing fields, and they had got a special space for him, and he was so down to earth. I was like, no, I don't want that, I want that. And it was like, oh, okay. it was really very sure about what it was that he desired about everything and anything. But he was just pure love. You could see it shining out of him. This is the Dalai Lama, absolutely amazing man. Just, it was his 80th birthday, I think, and he had visited Glastonbury as a treat. How lovely is that? It was Patti Smith who had invited the Dalai Lama to join her on her set, and so Juno and Ronnie thoroughly enjoyed her rock and roll. She's an American rock and roll singer, and it was really full on. It was brilliant. And when we got home, Juno started to play music. Ronnie had already got Paul's drums out, and Juno found this small keyboard that was a toy keyboard, and she put it down on the floor. She had obviously absorbed everything that Patti Smith had been doing on stage, and she just became this two-year-old rock and roll diva. It was quite wonderful. She was stomping on the keyboard, throwing the microphone down on the floor, and then picking it up, and it was just such good fun, singing and throwing her hair back. She was only two, but she'd really absorbed everything that had been going on stage. Such a magical moment. Just one of the funniest, most beautiful things to see. The magic of a child who was just seeing somebody do something and then coming home and copying it and being in the moment. It was just absolutely wonderful, magical, and such a lovely end to the day. So if you're enjoying listening to me, Daisy Foss, talking to you about all things magical, then please tune in. It's UK Health Radio, and I'm just going to be talking a little bit more about the magic of Merlin and all other magical beings too. So where were we? Oh, I remember. There we were in Egypt on this sacred journey, and we were discovering our past lives. We were discovering us more about ourselves, and I was also practicing and learning the healing art of Merlin, and it was such joy. The temples, gosh, if you've never been to the temples of Egypt, every single one of them is different, and every single one of them has a gift within them. They were built for lots of different reasons over many millennia. Each pharaoh added a little bit more. Each kingdom ran the temples differently. So there was many layers to discover, many layers to again, look at in different ways, perceptions, even the way you wake up, the way that you greet the day, and, you know, doing yoga, the sun salute. What was that all about? I never knew anything about the sun salute. Do you know about the sun salute? It's when the priestesses greet the day, when the priests in the temples, when the magic of the morning, of nature enters and is absorbed by your chakras. So the first thing you do is to stand outside with your feet on the ground, arms in the air, and open heart, open hands, greet the sun, and as the sun rays flow through your body as you breathe them in all the way from heaven to earth, and then you are unzipping your chakras, and the light and the love and the present of the day starts, and that is usually at sunrise. And to do a sunrise sun salutation was just amazing, and I think that's one of the few things that I do unconsciously now, because it opens up the whole of your system to receive this divine light. And of course it's the magic of nature. And one of these mornings in Cairo, Isis took us to the Sphinx. I love the Sphinx. Merlin loves the Sphinx. It's such a magical space. Nobody knows quite what kind of animal it is. Is it a lion-headed being, or is it something else? And when you connect with the Sphinx, as I have done on my many trips to and journeys, sacred journeys to Egypt, we ask the Sphinx its name, and its energetic name, its magical name is Tefnut. Tefnut, a spit from the sky. Tefnut, a spit from the sky, because that's where the ancient Egyptians believed that this magic came in from, the star beings in through from the channels, and the lion-headed beings, sphinxes, were the guardians of sacred spaces. And if you go to the Sphinx on the sunrise of the spring equinox, you'll see that the Sphinx Tefnut is in fact greeting the sun as it rises, just like a sun salutation for the Sphinx, for that whole area of Giza Plateau. So it starts at the Sphinx and then travels through the pyramids. And what a magical sight, and what an incredible experience. And of course, you just don't know it's there unless somebody wise tells you that that's what's happening. And so that was one of the highlights of our first trip there. And of course, really understanding an awful lot more about how Merlin had really come into my life at a time when I was asking for help. And do you ask for help? Do you say, oh my God? Or I say, oh my Gaia. OMG. The kids don't say that anymore, do they? They used to say that all the time. Or sing Let It Go, Let It Go. I suppose they still do that with that wonderful musical the film that all the children love. I think it's called Frozen. I know it's called Frozen. But it is... all that magic of the childhood is being given the opportunity to change and to call in their guides, OMG, and all the other little sayings that they have. And that was what was really interesting about going to Egypt for that spring equinox. It was all so new. I had no idea about the story of Isis and Osiris and the creator gods and his brother Seth and Isis's sister Nephesis and the battles of the day and the night and the battles between them and how Seth chopped his brother Osiris up into many pieces. And it was Isis, the goddess of love, who with her friend Hathor, the goddess Hathor from Venus, where they used the magic to collect all the pieces of Osiris. And it was only because Isis knew Thoth's magic name that she was able to collect every part of Osiris, except for his most important piece of equipment that enabled her to begat her son or their son Horus. That was the magic of Thoth. So I was introduced to Thoth or Thoth, and Thoth is again the great magician of Egypt, and he passed on some of his teachings to Isis because she discovered his magical name. And how do you discover these magical names? You ask, and if it's right, they'll tell you, and if it's not, they won't. He won't know. very practical, aren't I? So there was I in these temples discovering all the incredible stories of Egyptian past through the pharaohs. We didn't do it at my school. I went to 7 different schools. I must have missed it that day. The kids today, my grandchildren, are learning about Egypt, and they come into the house and go, oh, wow, who's that, Omar? And, oh, wow, you have an ankh, Omar. That's the symbol of the priests and priestesses. And again, it's the ankh that Merlin, the staff that Merlin would have, would be like an ankh. He'd use it like the key of life. So is Merlin Thoth and is Thoth Merlin? Apparently not. There's no absolute connection between the two of them. But I believe that there is a lineage between the magic, and that Merlin was certainly in the mystery schools, and he was under a different name. I think his name then, on such to I would reveal his magical name. I think his magical name was Kamel. That's what Merlin's told me, is that in the temples he was the priest Kamel. He was the high priest, and he would teach the magic of nature, of the herbs, and all of the esoteric information that has been passed down to us today in many different ways. And so Thoth was a scribe. He was the architect of the universe. Can't say that without singing it, really. Architect of the universe. Thoth, an incredible. He's often seen as an ibis. He's been around since the time of Atlantis, but in Egypt, during the Egyptian pharaohs and ancient Egyptian philosophies, he is always there as the great magician. And a lot of the temples have spaces dedicated to him. Most of the temples have spaces dedicated to Horus and Hathor as well, the Divine Mother and the Divine Father. And of course, the stories of the mystery schools have come back to us through lots of secret societies and lots of places of learning and teaching magic in small circles. But it's becoming far more open now. I think recently the revelation of Harry Potter as a fictional character has really lit and ignited the imaginations. And of course, in some ways, remembering the magic of the story of how the light triumphs over the dark, and it always does. It is the battle of Osiris and Seth being played out many times, and it's that journey, it's that beginning, that middle, that end, that is the fun part of it. The sacred journeys to Egypt that Paul and I took, our last group one was 2011, but the last time we went was 2014, and we did keep going back because each journey was a beginning, a middle, and end. But it spanned 11 years with groups, which was just phenomenal. And I think people are starting to really open up themselves now to a different kind of energy that's coming in. Really, the magic is so subtle. It's so strong. But Merlin is absolutely there every time you call him. I've been asked as well, are you a wizard or are you a witch? Now, there's a big difference between wizards and witches and warlocks. The female of a wizard is not necessarily a witch in the same way that a Merlin is the male initiate who has passed and reached a certain level of spiritual development. A Merlina is the female equivalent. So it is very interesting now how many people you can see have woken up to their true authentic selves. And that's the magic of Merlin. That's what I'm seeing in people, is that they really are, they're calling in, they're connecting with nature, they're working through the new moons and the full moons. I mean, I never knew anything about full moons and new moons and the rituals that people were doing, but it's everyday life now. When we first opened the Daisy Centre, my staff would I'd say, "Where are you? What are you doing?" "Oh, can't come in today. It's full moon." And it's like, "What?" But I learnt to plan my calendars around the full moons and the new moons, because that's the flow of nature. That's the magic, and the magic of Merlin, the magic of life, arises with the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And this magic of Merlin is absolutely there for you. You only have to ask.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My name's Daisy Foss on UK Health Radio. I hope you've enjoyed my show today, and we will be talking more about the angels next time. The angels of awakening, they go hand in hand with Merlin. Merlin is the earthly shamanic energy of the land, and the angels are of the spirit of the stars and the planets. So I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.